Good morning and welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Dorothy Krause, a member of the program committee. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, sexual orientation, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. Later in the service, we will invite visitors, guests, and returning friends to introduce yourselves so that we might get to know you better. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services provided either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community, or when we have one, which we are currently recruiting, a minister that we use on occasion. Today, Dean Hinman is going to be talking about the power of letting go, making life easy 101. As I arrived, duties here was to go through the order of service and make sure we had everything. At that time, we did not have a bio for our speaker, so I asked him to write something quick. This is what he wrote for us. Dean is a former teacher, having taught two-year-olds through grad school. The two-year-olds are better students. Well, welcome, Dean. And this water is for you.
Oh, okay. Oh. Thank you.
Okay. Do you want to wander around as you talk?
I'll be different from what I was last time, and I'll just stand right here, real close to this mic, and I hope everybody can hear me. Okay.
That will work.
I enjoyed the story that Barbara read this morning because yesterday evening I was listening to the Prairie Home Companion show, and they had a little skit, and the woman said that she attended a Unitarian church and really found it quite interesting when they always started their prayers, "To whom it may concern." Well, welcome, and glad to see you're here. Today, the talk is going to be, well, we've heard the words letting go, speaking of God, letting go and letting God, and they kind of raise some curiosity as to what people mean, and usually I think people mean that they are struggling in their life and they want to have less struggle, want to have some help, and so they are determined to kind of let go of their problems and let some other power help them out. And oftentimes with people and their beliefs, that other power is God, God in the traditional way of thinking of God. And today we're going to look at that phrase, letting go and letting God, through the lens of atomic physics. Speaking of letting go and letting God, I want to tell you a little story. A man was out walking one day who happened to be very much of a believer of letting go and letting God. And he was felt he was kind of pious and he had a great connection. And he pondered that so intensely that he didn't pay enough attention to where he was walking. He happened to be walking along the edge of a cliff. And he got a little close and one foot went over the edge and down he tumbled. And he was falling and luckily about halfway down, it was a long ways. There was a branch protruding and he got a hold of it. And he was so relieved. But then he looked down and you see how far it was yet. And he looked up and it was a long ways up and there was no way to get up there. And so he looked up and he hollered, "Is anybody up there?" And a booming voice came down, "Yes, this is God speaking." "Oh, thank God," said the man. "It's God, tell me what to do." And then he heard the voice come back, "Let go of the branch." He looked up, said, "Anybody else up there?" There goes his letting go and letting God. But in order to look at this phrase through the lens of atomic physics, let's do a little review, because the last time I talked about a little bit about that, and we put it in a way that we can all relate to. First of all, we know that everything, including each of us, is mostly space. That's been shown in many, many ways over and over. And it doesn't seem like it. We can look around, we seem very solid, but we're hundreds and hundreds of times more space than we are substance, solid material. Doesn't matter what it is, be a chunk of iron or rock, it's mostly space. And that space, though, is not really an empty space. It's filled with a flow of photons and other subatomic particles that aren't really substance, they're more waves and particles. And they're flowing throughout the universe. They come to us as individuals and through us and enter our DNA. We emit them from our DNA, and they are actually transferring energy and information to the extent that it's that whole space of the universe, which we'll call the universal field, is like a consciousness. And some people speak of the universe as the universal mind, that all of that information, all of the thoughts that ever been spoken, all of the knowledge, everything is in a constant flow forever and for infinitely infinite distances. And so the universal field is a whole nother reality that we rarely feel. Well, we don't feel it because our five senses tend to outswamp the whole thing. And we are kind of born into the feeling that this is all there is. But as Peggy Lee asked, is this all there is? No. This great reality of the universal field is very important to our lives, many, many, many times larger than our material substance. And this has a lot of implications. It's very important to our lives. And we talked about one of them, well, the fact that our cells is being spread throughout the universe, our important reality, our universal reality, our field, is being spread throughout the universe, mixing with everybody else's. We think of the universal field of the whole universe as being a huge ocean. Each of us is like a bucket of that ocean, constantly mixing with it. And so are we all one? Yeah, we're really all one in a very definite way. It's not just a nice little saying. And of course, then that has implications, as we said last time, for compassion. And we know that if we are all one, we're all in the same soup, same ocean, that we have every reason to be compassionate, because we are everyone and everyone is us. And so we have an opportunity here to grasp that, hopefully to spread the word, to have compassion from everybody, to have come and be shown and demonstrated and have personal peace and world peace. It's sort of like this. So many things we can't control. So many hurts that happen every day. So many heartaches that pierce the soul. So much pain that won't ever go away. How do we make it better? How do we see it through? What do we do when there's nothing we can do? We can be kind. We can take care of each other. We can remember that deep down inside, we all need the same things. and maybe we'll find, if we are there for each other, that together we can weather whatever tomorrow brings. So what do we choose? To have a kind of a dog-eat-dog world where everybody, not everybody, but there's an awful lot of conflict and hurt being done, or to have one huge support system? So we got a very good reason for being compassionate and trying to spread that and move along our evolution. Now, letting go and letting God. We have in the universal field a tremendous source, because the universal mind is the greatest library. It's an internet's internet that's far greater, because everything is there. And we speak, as Einstein did in that quote this morning, that things just come to us. Call it intuition or what. And so there's a big implication for the universal field and intuition. And you have all had intuitive experiences where you just had something come to you and you knew it. You've maybe even gone even further and had some clairvoyant experiences. And we can sometimes ask, where did it come from? Well, it's beginning to look like in our studies of atomic physics that whole bank of knowledge, that universal mind, is the source. Edgar Cayce, a lot of you have heard about him, I'm sure. If you haven't, you read a great book. It's his biography by Jess Stearns called A Sleeping Prophet. He had the ability, when he was told the symptoms that somebody had of some health problem, and where the person lived, what his name was, he would go into a trance. And what was he doing in that trance? He was cutting out his five senses that can block our connection with the universal mind, because they're so intense and so much chaos and so much disorder. And he could come up with a treatment that was often unique, that no doctor anywhere had ever put together, because he had the ability to take one source of knowledge from here and one there and maybe two or three and put it, culminate it together in one treatment. And the healing was high, high percentage of success, even though he had never met the person, if the person followed the treatment that he prescribed. Now, what we're going to basically say today is that we have an opportunity here to improve our intuitive powers, to improve our pipeline, our connection with the universal mind. And it requires that we keep an awareness, that somehow we let the awareness of the universal field and the universal mind be carried with us and not be destroyed by what we're perceiving in this smaller reality. Seems like the bigger reality because our five senses dominate so. And the key is to be develop an awareness, an acceptance of the universal field and an awareness of it, and carrying it in our consciousness at some level. So it's kind of in the background, maybe, but it's there motivating a lot of our thoughts, our behavior, and how we function in our life. Now there's a couple things we can do. And one of them is very simple. Through the course of the day, when all of the five senses and this form reality is coming at you, and there's good things and bad things, and your mind is dealing with it constantly, take a little tiny micro vacation and say to yourself, wait a minute, this is not all there is. There's a universal field. It's very important in the universal mind. I want to keep it in mind. I want it to be there and not be forgetful of it. And if you do that to every once in a while, every hour, whatever it happens to be, just stop and let that thought cross your mind. Now there's a second thing we can do that's a little different, and that's called taking a virtual tour of the universal field. When you first wake up in the morning, if you took a minute and said, okay, I look about me and I see my room and I sense this, I feel this, I hear this. But I'm going to go away for a minute from all of this and step into the universal field. So let's try that this morning. Let's try a little virtual tour. And to do that, I'm going to ask you if you close your eyes so that you can begin to shut out the one of the more important five senses, our vision, and then we'll go from there. So please close your eyes. I'll guide you through this tour, and just the only sound I hope you hear is my guidance, and then the other senses too, let them lay back and be softened now. Okay, think of where you are, and that you're going to leave the world of your five senses just for a bit. And now begin the tour by picturing your body, seeing it as mostly space. And in that space, see the subatomic particles exchanging energy and information. A non-material consciousness. Now expand your view to see the entire universe and its space. See your space mixing with the entire space of the universe. Then see the conscious space of everyone and every creature of the universe also mixing into the universal space. The universal field, the universal mind. Now hold that view. Just keep the picture going in your mind, the constant mixing, the constant exchange of energy and information. That we are one. If an outside thought comes to mind, just let it go. Go back to your awareness of the mixing, the oneness. You are letting go of the reality of your five senses. You've opened your mind to the universe. You are letting the universe. Okay. You open your eyes now and come on back. Now you've all had intuitive experiences. Some of you, maybe many of you, have had personally an extrasensory perception. Notice that extrasensory perception experiences beyond our five senses. Or even a clairvoyant experience. By the way, our military and defense department thought big of clairvoyance, because in the 70s they formed what they called the Stargate Project, in which they were training people who had the tendency towards clairvoyance to be remote viewers, thinking they could remotely view the enemy's operation and get information. They carried on that project for 25 years. It was a big thing. We didn't hear much about it, if anything. And they found that it worked, but they couldn't get the details that were important enough for what they needed. And so they, in 1995, they quit the program. Well, So what are your experiences that you've had are intuitive or more? And what do you see as the implication? What are your comments and questions?
Appreciate it. Thank you, Dean.
Yeah, you bet.
Our closing words today: there is guidance for each of us, and by lowly listening, we shall hear the right word. Then, without effort, you are impelled to truth and to perfect contentment. And that's by Ralph Waldo Emerson. So thank you for coming today. Please extend hand of friendship to those around you, and join us for coffee and conversation if you would like.